3390.
Yeah, and it's the last days to fill out that calendar raffle, right?
Yep, so today and tomorrow are the last days to get in on that. So I encourage you to stop by or give us a call.
And Terry is one of our good stories, because not only does she put up with me, but she does all these things whenever I put her on the spot right off the top of her head. And I've been watching you do this for years, and it still amazes me every time. It's just really something. Have yourself a great weekend, Terry.
Thanks, you too.
Stick around, everybody. Got Morning Magazine coming up right here on WFHR, locally grown radio.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Paul Gauguin Cruises.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. A military spokesman says 9 people were killed when 2 helicopters collided during a routine training mission near Fort Campbell in Kentucky. CBS's Catherine Herridge says the choppers involved were HH-60 Blackhawks.
This is really the workhorse of the U.S. military for air assaults, for transportation, also for evacuations. And I think we use the words very lightly, routine exercises, but these can be very high risk. And unfortunately, we may have seen some of that risk play out last night.
We're expecting more details at a news conference getting underway now. There's been another freight train derailment in the U.S. This time, 22 cars of a BNSF train carrying ethanol and a liquid used in corn syrup went off the tracks in western Minnesota and burst into flames. WCCO-TV's Pauline Lee from the small rural city of Raymond, west of Minneapolis.
About a half a mile radius around this crash site was evacuated. So emergency crews were going door to door overnight trying to get people out. Some people were evacuated by emergency vehicles. Others were able to take their own vehicles, and they were all taken to a shelter, a school.
The cause of the derailment is under investigation. A Wall Street Journal reporter is jailed in Russia after he was arrested in the city of Yekaterina. The BBC's Steve Rosenberg is outside the courthouse in Moscow, where Evan Gershkovich's hearing took place today.
The FSB accused the Wall Street Journal reporter of unlawful activity and said he was suspected of espionage in the interests of the U.S. government. They claimed that Mr. Gershkovich was collecting classified information about a Russian defense plant. In Russia, the charge of espionage carries a maximum sentence of 20 years in prison.
The Journal vehemently denies those allegations. Back home, jobless claims were up a little. Bankrate's Mark Hamrick.
Week after week, we continue to look for a possibly big jump in the number of new claims for unemployment benefits, and we just haven't seen it. The Labor Department says new applications for jobless aid rose by 7,000 last week to 198,000.
There's nasty weather in the forecast for the nation's midsection tomorrow. CBS meteorologist David Parkinson.
The timing on this one, from the afternoon straight into the overnight hours, and we've got the threat for tornadoes, damaging wind, and hail.
Police in San Antonio say the owner of a truck stolen from a residential neighborhood used an Apple AirTag inside the truck to track it down to a strip mall parking lot. Then they say he killed the suspected thief. A family member of the shooter told police the suspect may have pulled a gun, but it's unclear if the person was actually carrying a weapon. Dow up 134. This is CBS News.
CBS News is brought to you by Paul Gauguin Cruises. Artfully authentic, all-inclusive year-round cruising to Tahiti and the South Pacific. Visit pggcruises.com today.
So we were in Times Square
taking selfies with all the lights.
I bought a shot glass.
I bought a snow globe at this little shop.
You know, I collect those.
Then we grabbed a slice
at this super secret spot.
It smelled a bit funky outside.
I heard they don't have alleys.
They don't have alleys.
But they certainly have people.
Lots of people.
When everyone's vacation sounds the same,
it's time for something different. Go on a real vacation. Go RVing. Learn more at GoRVing.com.
Progressive presents Adjusting to the Suburbs.
I never really thought about tools until I bought a house in the suburbs. It's like this weird homeowner test if I need a tool for a project and don't have it. And my neighbor Ted loves to give me that look when I ask to borrow a pole saw. A year ago, I didn't even know pole saws existed. And now I gotta borrow one from Ted? What is happening?
Anyway, when you save with Progressive by bundling your home and auto, that's the easy part of adjusting to the suburbs. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company coverage provided in service by affiliates and third-party insurers.
What grows in the forest? Trees? Sure. Know what else grows in the forest? Our imagination, our sense of wonder, and our family bonds grow too. Because when we disconnect from this and connect with this, we reconnect with each other and build family memories we will carry with us forever. The forest is closer than you think.
Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. It's easy. Just put in your zip code to find family-friendly outdoor destinations near you. You'll also find guides to free activities, games, and amazing forest facts. Give the magic of the outdoors to your kids and reconnect with your family. Find a forest near you at discovertheforest.org. That's discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. A winter storm watch begins at 1 a.m. Saturday morning and continues until 1 p.m. Saturday. Cloudy this afternoon with a chance for mixed precipitation. High of 44. Southerly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. 33 tonight. A mixture of precipitation likely. A dusting of snow today with another 2 to 4 inches tomorrow night through Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 27.
Good morning. You're listening to Central Wisconsin's 24-hour information station, WFHR. It's time now for the Morning Magazine.
Welcome to Morning Magazine for this March 30th, 10:05 on the clock. It's your host, James J. Mailoff, behind the mic. Thank you for joining us, everybody. We're going to be talking with Chris Inde right now, candidate for Wisconsin Rapid School Board. Chris, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me, James.
How you been?
I'm good. Yourself?
Good. Doing good. Here, thanks for asking and thanks for being here.
Wonderful.
I know that we've talked before, Chris, and I think the community knows you fairly well, but just in case for those that aren't listening, that are listening that may not know, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Absolutely. Yeah. So I've been living in the community since about 2011. Prior to that, I was U.S. Army veteran. I was did that right out of high school. And so when I finished up with that, I came back to the community, made this area my home. My wife and I met, got married, and now we have two young kids just starting in the school system.
What do you do for a career, Chris?
Yeah, so I'm a real estate agent here in the area. I've been doing that since 2016.
Mm, awesome. And again, as always, thank you for your service, Chris. We greatly appreciate that.
Thank you.
And I appreciate you spending the time with us today to get to know you a little bit more. And as you're gearing up for this vote, this election coming up and such. So why did you choose to run to be a member of the school district?
Absolutely. So I mentioned, I've got two little kids, a seven-year-old, five-year-old, just starting their school careers. And, always hear about, being a part of the process, being involved. And, I wanted to see that my kids, not only, but all the kids have, the best education they can have. If it's bringing some diversity or different ideas to the school board that, hasn't seen much change in the past several years.
What do you see, and you may have even touched on it a little bit there, what do you see as the biggest challenges facing the school board?
Well, I think one of the challenges, getting some change in there. I think one of the biggest things I can bring forward is actually, like I said, having kids in the school district. I would be the only one on the school board that actually has kids in the school district. So just understanding that, the mindset of parents and maybe some of the struggles they're facing, to be that voice for them, which they currently don't have.
When it comes to what you see as the biggest challenges facing the school board, kind of touch on that a little bit there, so you have. But what do you think is the best approach when dealing with a parent's concerns? This can be a bit of a trickier one, I would think.
Well, sure, yeah. And, parents certainly need to be involved. They need to know what's going on. There's been issues. There's been, behavior issues, bullying. Those are certainly items that are of great importance that are going on right now. I think another item is the test scores we've been looking at have certainly declined, not only with COVID, but we started seeing that go down before that. So parents to be involved to see what's in our curriculum, what our kids are learning, and it's, I don't want to put this all, it's there's not one approach or one fix. School board, school system, the teachers, that's all a big part of it, but it's the parents as well. We want to get them involved. We want them to be part of the process, and so having that transparency as to what's going on is going to be key.
We've all heard the phrase, it takes a village to raise a child. I think that we're being tested on that a little bit with this, where we really have to learn to get along. We have to learn to work together when it comes to a lot of these divisive kind of things that can happen. And it's kind of, it also seems like a thing where we kind of have to get the ego out of it, the thing as adults, and remember what this is all about, the kids.
Absolutely. So I think one of the great skills I can bring forward is the background from the Army. One of the things they taught us when we were first in basic training is, be able to understand and listen to other people's point of views, because we were bringing together people from all over the country, different cultures, different neighborhoods, different types of upbringings, and to be able to work with all these different people going to possibly war, which we did go to Iraq and back. So being able to work with all these other different types of individuals and collaborate with them, we all have different ideas, but we all had to have the same goal and be able to achieve that. So understanding that, doing that, living that, I feel I can bring, I can work with our current school board members too, and for the best.
That's how you would handle dealing with parents. What about teachers? How do you see, what do you see as the board's role in supporting teachers?
Yeah, so I want to make sure, I'm obviously not an educator, but I am a parent, and I'm someone that has, concerns. I want to see the best. But so that being said, the teachers, we want to enable them to have all the tools and the the ability to teach our kids as they need. We've got to do it with the parents in mind and how they want to see the kids being taught. But the teachers are the ones that need that that support from the school board. And whether it's adding additional, we have reading interventionalists. We have other volunteer support. We want to make sure our teachers have enough support to do their job.
Right. We're speaking with Chris Inda. He is a candidate for the Wisconsin Rapids School Board. And Chris, how do you think your position on the school board will bring about positive change in our district?
I want to make, sort of positive change. There's a lot of issues that parents are concerned about. I mentioned briefly earlier, some mental health. There's some vaping, concerns that are going on. Addressing, some of those. There's, for instance, mental health. Want to expand upon those services. We currently are, we have behavioral interventions, we have district-wide tracking, but we want to expand on those, collaborate with our Wood County Health Human Services. But again, going back to it takes a village, getting the parents involved, we want to make sure that they understand what's going on and what the role is. Incorporating those value-based practices, I think, can be a positive for education and mental health. Finding those similar values we all agree on, I think that's all going to be a positive towards our education system.
We have a growing community and a growing society, really. But Central Wisconsin area here, focusing on that, we have a growing community. How important do you think inclusion is going forward, incorporating all kind of different options, different things going on with that kind of growing with the community, growing?
So all for all different types of opinions, ideas. I mentioned that earlier. Mm-hmm. I think when it comes to the school's role, first and foremost should be the education, the curriculum. We should be focused first on our reading, our writing, our arithmetic, those types of things. That should be our priority. However, whether it's after hours programs or something to that effect, where there's more opportunities for some of those other inclusion ideas. I'm not opposed to that, but I think our school day, our day-to-day activities should be focused on those traditional curriculum.
Why should your community consider you?
Yeah, so I mentioned, you know, first of all, one of the, I think the best things I can bring forward is having kids in the school district. But beyond that, I do have experience working with our children in other aspects of the community. For instance, I've worked in the Rotary Student Scholarships in the past. I've volunteered with the Encourage Community Foundation's Teen Leadership Program. And just last year, actually, I served on the Council for Instructional Improvement within the district. So, experiences, working in the community, even my role, my career, my real estate career, working, I talk to parents on a daily basis almost and understand what they're going through and some of the struggles and, what we may need to address. Mm-hmm. So I've got a lot of different avenues that and background experience I think I can bring to the table.
Final question, Chris. You're almost done. Doing a great job. Did you ever think you would run for school board? Did you ever see yourself as somebody doing something like this?
No, actually. Growing up, I would have, preferred to live, maybe in that cabin in the woods with, nobody around. But, you grow up, you learn, you change a little. But, especially once you have kids, then your whole mindset changes. And I think every parent out there can agree on that. And your priorities shift and you want the best for them. And, so as that change occurred as I had my kids, I started to get more involved into, obviously their lives and wanting the best for them.
Hmm. Chris, if people have follow-up questions, they want to know more about you as a candidate, or maybe they're just looking for some real estate help, they want to reach out to you, is there a way to contact you?
Absolutely. So the best way, probably going to be on Facebook, Chris Inda for School Board, and just feel free to message me in there.
Really do appreciate the time, Chris. Thank you so much for joining us today. Looking forward to talking again soon.
Yep, great. Thanks, James.
Thank you. We'll be back with more Morning Magazine right here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
And, of course, the weather's not going to play.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. A winter storm watch begins at 1 a.m. Saturday morning and continues until 1 p.m. Saturday. Cloudy this afternoon with a chance for mixed precipitation. High of 44, southerly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. 33 tonight, a mixture of precipitation likely. A dusting of snow today with another 2 to 4 inches tomorrow night through Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 27.
Welcome back, everyone, to Morning Magazine for this March 30th, 2023. Your host, James, here. And we're going to do something a little bit different now. We're opening up the phone lines. We got about 15 minutes left of show. I'd like to fill it with your phone calls and your thoughts and feelings about the elections coming up with the school board, with the judging. What are some of the issues that you see as a concern and a necessity to address in the community? Maybe even if it expands beyond that. Maybe they don't involve the school board or the judge, coming up, the judge candidacy coming up, that position. Maybe it involves something else. This is an opportunity for you to do that, for you to voice those feelings. 424-2600. Feel free to call up and join the conversation. Otherwise, I do want to thank Chris Inda for joining us. Appreciate the time from Chris. That was a pre-recorded interview from last week that we were able to get Chris in for. Appreciate him making the time. Coming up in Morning Magazine, we'll have Jasmine Carbajal. She's the 4-H Associate Educator with the Marathon of Wood County's UW Extension. Looking forward to talking with Jasmine. Tomorrow on Morning Magazine, we will wrap up our candidate interviews. We will have Tim Giebert, a candidate for Wood County Circuit Court Branch 4 Judge. He will kick things off at 10:05 tomorrow. At 10:15, John Krings, candidate for the Wisconsin Rapids School Board. And then we will wrap up with our good friend Catherine Eckelhart, Director of McMillan Memorial Library. So we do appreciate Kathy Stebbins-Hintz joining us, Craig Lambert, Mike Deary, all of the candidates that have already joined us and the ones that are going to be. Really appreciate them spending the time with us. when we're talking elections, we want to make sure that you are informed of all the information that you need to be able to vote and be able to vote smart. And you can do that by going to myvote.wi.gov. Myvote.wi.gov. You can find out all the information you need there for the 2023 spring election. If you're voting absentee, that's the place to go to find out all the information you need to make sure to do that properly. Where do you vote? Well, you can enter your name and address, and it shows where to vote and the times to vote right there. So you can't go wrong there. It's got that information. What about what's on my ballot? You want to go into this knowing what you're going in, walking into, right? Well, enter your name and address, and it shows what it is to be voted on in your precinct. So that's, you can find that right at What's on My Ballot. You can register to vote for there. You can also track your ballot from there, which I actually find kind of cool. I don't know. I get in the whole tracking thing. If I order something, I like following it, the tracking, and the tracking of your vote. It's pretty cool. All of this available for you again at myvote.wi.gov. Myvote.wi.gov. That's another great resource there for that. If you're any other interesting, like military voters and other information is there as well for you to check out there. 424-2600. That's the phone number to call to join the conversation. Also did want to mention as well a big thank you to the League of Women Voters and Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Was able to do a little homework with all of them to prepare for these interviews and greatly appreciate the work that they do during every election cycle. They are hard at work in making sure their community is informed, ready to vote, and get out there and rock that vote. Because that is it. I don't know if there's ever been an election in American history that wasn't important. I think you go back to the first one to the last one, they're all pretty vital and all pretty important. And I think a lot of us get a little tired of, this is the biggest, most important election of our times. Like every single one, they keep saying that. And they aren't completely wrong, because every one of them is vital and very important. And something interesting, Terry and I were talking about during the commercial break about this, where it seems for her and I, we're very engaged in this. I care about this stuff. I'm informed, and I look at multiple different sources, not just sources that I like, but I go to other sources and I make sure to be well-rounded. Terry sounds very similar. But there are plenty of people out there that we have to pretty much convince to vote. And that is one of the most ridiculous things I can think of. Like one of the most ridiculous things a human being can do, to not care about voting. If you choose not to vote, that is your American right. That is as much a right as it is for me to vote. But to not care, to be so, I don't know, numb or burnt out or whatever it is, there's a lot of things in society we cannot afford, literally cannot afford to normalize. And politics is one of them. We all understand that you don't always get your money's worth. You vote for a candidate, they go in, they don't always do the things that they said they were going to do on the campaign trail. That's happened plenty of times in political history, not just here in America, but around the world. That's politics. With that, you still have to play the game. It's still the best game in town. Democracy is still the best way to do things. Please feel free to call up 424-2600 if you'd rather live in a dictatorship. I'd love to hear your points on that and why you think that would be a better way for us to go. I don't think that's the case. Democracy is the best game in town. We got to play the game. You got to be a part of this. Be informed. Learn about these things. Get involved in your community. Get your hands in the dirt. Find out what is going on with your people. You can rip on, representatives all you want, but especially local ones. You look at a Katrina Shanklin, a Scott Krug, they go door to door, like a lot of our representatives. I'm just using them as examples, but in that door to door thing, they do find out what's on your mind. They do talk to people straight up, eye to eye, no middleman, no cameraman around or anything like that. And they get that information. That's what we should be expecting from every single representative. And it's honestly what we should be expecting from each other. Be informed. Like, because I want to hear. Like, that's another reason you can call in. Tell me why you're done with politics. Tell me why you're not voting. Tell me why you are that numb or that care that little about it. Because if you do, I would think that you can own that. I would think that you have no problem coming on the air and expressing it. Because I'd like to know where your side you're coming. I'm not looking to have a fight with you. I want to hear your side of things. I want to hear your opinion on things. So that is something I can't relate with. I grew up in a political family. I grew up in a family that cared about what was happening around them. And I don't understand how people can't. So 424-2600, here's your chance. Otherwise, don't go barking at me that you never get a chance to join us on the air here. I've been giving you the past 2 days, giving you opportunities here left and right. And of course, there's Over the Back Fence you can always call us up on. Looking forward to that. That'll be this Saturday. Got a couple minutes left of the segment here. So I did want to just use that as a chance to remind you about a couple of things. Coming up, April is literally right around the corner. I don't know what happened to March. The Wisconsin Emergency Management, WEM, and the National Weather Service, NWS, are conducting a statewide tornado drill on April 20th at 1:45 and at 6:45. Our station is going to be talking about this leading up to it. We may even do a tornado drill around here. No, we probably won't do that, but maybe we should. Maybe we should. We've never done that. Is that a team building exercise? Does that count if we all do a tornado drill? Do we have to do it like we did as kids? Is it different as adults? We don't have a desk around here to stand. We'll be talking more about this as we lead up to it, but be sure to spread the word. These kind of things can be jarring for people when they don't know that they're happening. And, it comes up on April 20th. And yeah, you might want to spread the word about that. Going on today, our friends at the Aging and Disability Resource Center have their Managing Caregiving Stress. Providing care for a loved one can be rewarding, but caregivers can also experience stress, guilt, and frustration. Join them for one hour session today. You can do this at the Merrill and Wisconsin Rapids offices at their ADRC offices from 2 to 3 o'clock today. Registration is required. You can do that by going to adrc-cw.org. It's also where you can go to find out more information, adrc-cw.org. You can also give them a call at 888-486-9545, 888-486-9545. Did also want to mention that we have a blood drive opportunities for you. Superheroes are all the rage. They're in the movies all over the place. And it looks like a pretty sweet gig to be a superhero, but it also seems kind of like a kind of annoying. I mean, you're sitting down, you're going to have your coffee, and boom, the bat signal comes out. You got to get up. You got to go take care of that. You got to put the tights on. I don't know, the tights thing with the superheroes. I don't know if that's for me. I don't know. I couldn't do the cape thing either. And you got to have a tragic backstory. You got to come up with a cool name. All the good superheroes are already taken. It is much easier to spend an hour and to donate some blood, and just like that, you're a superhero. Marvel may even try to give you a movie. Who knows? Spring is here, and it is all the more important time for us to be able to donate, and the Red Cross is giving you plenty of opportunities to. You can do this, book a time to register by going to redcrossblood.org, or you can donate the Red Cross Blood Donor app. You can also give them a call at 1-800-RED-CROSS, 1-800-RED-CROSS. Today, our friends at Oso Brewing Company have a blood drive going on from noon to 5 over at 1800 Plover Road. And, of course, the good people over at the Stevens Point Blood Donation Center at 3201 C Main Street have blood drive opportunities going on all the time. In fact, over the next 3 days, they have blood drive opportunities. Today, 8:15 to 2:45. Tomorrow, 8:30 to 2:45. And that's the same time for April Fool's Day, 8:30 to 12:45 in the afternoon. Encourage you to donate if you can. Let's see here, and I did want to mention it is Thursday, and our good friends over at Focus have their meals that they serve in-house on Thursdays at 2321 West Grand Avenue in Wisconsin Rapids. They do this from 4:30 to 6. If you can help out with Focus, we always greatly appreciate that. And I did want to mention before we wrap up the Neighborhood Table. The neighborhood table provides to-go meals every Thursday. They do this from 4:30 to 5:30. They have a limited, 4:30 to 5:15. They have a limited number of meals available. Reservations should be made online by going to theneighborhoodtable.org. It's all one word, theneighborhoodtable.org. And if you don't have internet access, you can always give them a call, 715-422-1980. That's 422-1980. Be sure to leave your name, phone number, number of meals you're requesting, and be sure to get a thank you in there. We appreciate all of our friends under the Focus umbrella. Keep up the great work. We appreciate you. We're going to go ahead and take a quick commercial break. We'll come back, and we're going to talk with Jasmine, talk some 4-H here on Morning Magazine at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio.
Lights, camera, action. It is time for your close-up with WFHR Star of the Day featuring Culver's. Listen to WFHR every Friday morning at 8:30. We'll play a quote from a famous movie, name the actor, character, or movie, and you'll win two value baskets and two concrete mixers from the superstars at Culver's in Wisconsin Rapids. Join us Fridays to be WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's.
Over the Back Fence has moved. Tune in on Saturdays at 11 a.m. for an hour of water cooler talk, items you're looking to buy or sell, upcoming events in central Wisconsin, or just whatever. Join the conversation by calling 715-424-2600, and we'll go over the back fence at its new day and time, Saturdays at 11 a.m. It's the audio community bulletin board that comes to you. We'll see you there.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. A winter storm watch begins at 1 a.m. Saturday morning and continues until 1 p.m. Saturday. Cloudy this afternoon with a chance for mixed precipitation. High of 44, southerly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. 33 tonight, a mixture of precipitation likely. A dusting of snow today with another 2 to 4 inches tomorrow night through Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 27.
Good morning, and welcome back to The Morning Magazine. It's time for part two.
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine for this March 30th, 2023, 10:31 on the clock, and your host, James, behind the mic. We are welcoming in studio our good friend, Jasmine Carbajal. She is the 4-H Associate Educator with Marathon of Wood Counties. Good morning, Jasmine.
Good morning.
How you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
Doing good. Jasmine's coming in here well rested, plenty of energy.
Yes.
She's ready to go.
Happy to see some snow melted. Yes. It's sunny today.
It's
it
nice.
Makes me happy.
Yeah. Enjoying that. And we're enjoying all the great work that 4-H has been doing. You guys have been up to some really fun stuff the last couple of months.
And we've been pretty busy.
Yeah. Yeah. And a lot coming up, too.
Yes.
So that's where we're going to start today. We want to kick things off with talking about a great event that you've got coming up right around the corner.
Yeah, so we have our next Let's Create event. So we've been talking about this for the last couple of months. We've been setting up kind of monthly workshops with the youth at Let's Create here in Wisconsin Rapids. And last month we focused on painting. We actually painted a gnome on a canvas and the kids had a blast. And it was just so awesome to see how they personalized it. So this month we're going to be doing some scrapbooking, which also opens a lot of possibilities to make it very unique and very just creative to them. And so that'll be Wednesday, April 19th. And it's an hour. We've talked about this. You know, it doesn't have to be long. Parents can drop off their youth and they can participate in this from 6 to 7. Let's Create, located here at 1367 8th Street. $10 per participant, but we have scholarships available. We've talked about that before, too. You know, we don't want that to ever be an obstacle. And we're actually opening this up to anybody in kindergarten and up. So even the littles cool. can participate in this. We had littles at the last one, too, and they had a blast painting. So we are inviting them back this month as well.
Another fun thing about this to me, I feel like scrapbooking is one of those things that's gotten lost a little bit in our culture.
Yeah.
But it's such a cool thing and such a nice time capsule. I think part of the reason why scrapbooking kind of faded a little bit is because we carry these phones around that have cameras on them and we can take pictures all we want now. But a scrapbook is different. A scrapbook involves detailed memories and stuff. A photo can't speak to you. A scrapbook can.
Yeah. Well, you know, and a lot of things that kind of are coming back into fashion. You know, we were on vacation last week and my husband bought one of those Polaroid cameras where you get the picture right then and then. Right?
Yeah.
And those are so popular right now.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Things, you know, like scrapbooking are kind of, I think, back. And then
vinyl has come back.
Vinyl has come back. See? So, like, things are coming back, which is a good thing, I think. And and with Frankie at her business there, Let's Create, it's a perfect place. I don't know if you've ever been inside of it, but she has so many just fun things.
Yeah.
And, you know, it really helps. That helps because I think youth really get to be creative. Like, they see all the possibilities in her place.
And the idea of giving kids more opportunities to find confidence in their creativity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, school is great for that. But the older we get, the more it becomes about, you know, education and things that are going to help you in college and that. And the creative world gets a little bit put to the side sometimes. But that is such a
the creative world and the education world are hand in hand, and they go, they help each other.
Yep. And I think beyond confidence, I think independence too, because they can come and it's like, not what their parents want, not what I want. Mm-hmm. It's like, this is your scrapbook. So this is your painting. Like, you pick the colors, you pick whatever you want on there. At the end of the day, it's your project. And I think that that builds a little bit of independence as well.
Is there anything that kids' parents need to bring to this event? Just a smile and some energy?
Just a smile and some energy. We do ask them to register by April 16th, so we know how many, because, you know, it's a smaller space, so we usually limit to about 12 kids or 12 youth. So in all ages, you know, kindergarten and up. So we had, it's been nice. Every month we've had a variety of ages there, which is really cool. Because then you see just also like the difference in the skill level, and you don't need to have any skills either, but you know, you see kind of the difference, and you see older youth that are also taking on leadership roles because they're helping the younger youth that they're sitting next to. So it's just a really neat thing to see and a fun event to attend to.
I think that's a really good thing to bring up with this event, especially when we're talking kids. Not a lot of kids show a ton of creativity at that, or they show a ton of creativity, maybe not a lot of artistic abilities at those early ages and everything. But it's not about that. It doesn't matter if the kid has any, you know, artistic talents or anything like that. It's about them just enjoying this event, being a part of it, and all those organic things that can happen at the event. You bring up leadership, the opportunities for that as kids with kids.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen much outside of school. So to be able to give that opportunity is a really nice one too.
Yeah. You know, and we've talked about how like a lot of youth maybe don't know what 4-H is or how it has changed and how it's, you know, a lot different now because of the things that you get to do. And this is open to all youth. So not just 4-H'ers. And at that last event, I had a 4-H'er sit with someone that came that was not in 4-H. They were just kind of friends. And the 4-H'er's like, are you in 4-H? And she's like, no. And she's like, why not? It's so much fun. And then to see our own youth and 4-H, like, explain what 4-H is to them, cool. That was just so powerful. And it just made my heart just warm because it's like, this is really what it's about. Because I know I'm passionate. You're passionate about all the work that we do in 4-H. Yeah. But to hear it from someone your age and to know that it really means more nowadays, like, that was just great.
We all appreciate when we have somebody to talk to that knows what we're going through, that it relates to it. Kids are no different. And when they hear something from a kid, it's going to mean more than coming from one of us you know, silly adults. it's important we say stuff as adults, but it means so much more from a kid. That's a really cool thing to hear. How I got to imagine that every one of these events has multiple times that you parents are sitting back and seeing something like that with these kids.
I agree. You know, I have some parents, and if parents want to stay or family members drop off, they can stay. I advocate for both. You can either drop them off or you can stay. But I really have had to, and on some occasions, tell parents, like, let them just do it. And they watch them. And they do. They just kind of sit back and kind of see that, you know, they are really just their true selves. And, you know, their kids get to just be themselves and be creative and imagine, you know, what they want on their painting or whatever we're working for them on. So, yeah, it's really cool.
When it comes to the event, we also, again, want you to register for this. Now, I see your website. I was just going to mention the UW Extension website.
Yes.
That is 4h.extension.wisc.edu. 4h.extension.wisc.edu. And if you type it in your search bar, Wood County 4-H, that kind of thing, it'll pop up.
Yep. And we have this event for Let's Create, other events. You know, like you mentioned at the beginning, you would think that our busy time is summer, but really it's a whole year. But we are getting ready for summer programming, so that's up there. You know, our newsletters, if you're thinking like, okay, what maybe have I missed or what's coming up, it's all on our website. Contact information for myself, for Laura, our other 4-H educator, for our office staff. So it's a great resource. And the link to the registration, it should be up there as well. So website, our Facebook page, or calling us if with people with questions, all works.
The next event coming up, I want to get to, but let's go ahead and take a quick commercial break. Let's do that. We'll come back and we'll talk a little more with the 4-H and Jasmine here on Morning Magazine, WFHR, locally grown radio.
Take part in a Madison tradition. Sign up today for the Crazy Legs Classic on Saturday, April 29th. Register for the 8K run or 2-mile walk. Visit CrazyLegsClassic.com. Finish on the Camp Randall Field, then enjoy the post-race party featuring Rod, Tough Curls, and the bench press. The Crazy Legs Classic is presented by J.D. McCormick Properties, Odyssey Greek Yogurt, Mueller Sports Medicine, The Joint Chiropractic, and NBC 15. To learn more or to register, visit CrazyLegsClassic.com.
Data shows that after a child turns 9 in foster care, they are much less likely to be adopted. But the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption believes every child is adoptable.
Families, if you're able to let your hair down a little bit, there's a lot to learn from teenagers.
The clock is ticking for teens at risk of aging out of foster care. Learn how you can help at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
Weather brought to you by Wisconsin Cheese and Popcorn Shop at civicmedia.us/shop.
Here's a fun treat for your Easter celebration, cherry elk sausage and port wine cheese spread.
You can order them at civicmedia.us/shop.
Part of the proceeds benefit Wisconsin athletic programs.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. A winter storm watch begins at 1 a.m. Saturday morning and continues until 1 p.m. Saturday. Cloudy this afternoon with a chance for mixed precipitation. High of 44, southerly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. 33 tonight, a mixture of precipitation likely. A dusting of snow today with another 2 to 4 inches tomorrow night through Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 27.
Welcome back to the morning show here at Morning Magazine here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Your host, James, behind the mic, and I am joined by Jasmine Carbajal, 4-H Associate Educator with Marathon and Wood Counties. Good morning, Jasmine. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, James.
I want to get into Creative Arts Day.
Yes.
This is a fun one. I've been talking about it a lot on Over the Back Fence and some other great things. Been trying to get you a good team together for this one because it's going to be a lot of fun.
It's going to be a lot of fun. It's this Saturday, so I wanted to make sure I talked about it with you today because it's in 2 days. Yeah. You know, we worked really hard the last couple of months planning it, and it's one of the one of those best events that we have during the year. So I wanted to make sure all of your listeners knew about it and knew that they were invited to this. Mm-hmm. So it's this Saturday, April 1st. We're going to be doing it in the Pittsfield schools again this year. And it's up open to the public at 10. We'll start there around 9 setting up and things, all the projects that are going to get displayed. But we're hoping public will come at 10. We have concessions this year. Our team leadership group is going to be with our club Shady Lane selling concessions, so pizza, ham and cheese sandwiches, so you know, if you need a little something. And it's a pretty long event. People have a choice to really see lots of different things. Skits, plays, piano, instrumental, we'll have some dance performances, and then we have our People's Choice categories, which I think is really the funnest thing.
Yeah.
Our youth, that maybe, so I'm not a performer, I'm not, so you know, I would probably be entering in one of these, but we have youth enter in Lego creations.
Nice.
In cake decorating and in photography. Mm. So those entries, we'll set them in the gym area, and people, anybody, you know, 4-H'ers, non-4-H'ers, parents, anybody will come by and vote. Mm. And so they get to look through those three categories and place a vote, and then the award ceremony, which starts at 3 this Saturday, we get to award them. Oh. So yeah, it's just a really fun filled event, like anything you can think of.
it's so great for these kids. It reminds me of the school talent show.
Reminds
me a lot of that.
Yeah.
And many of us that participated in a school talent show will tell you it was a confidence builder. It was a huge confidence builder. It meant a lot. It was some of the early performing some of us do and can lead you to, you know, jobs and careers in those kind of fields, but also like, had I never stepped a foot on a stage or ever gotten behind a microphone or anything, I was not a confident person. And being just from that little talent show, everything I was able to build in from junior high school and all that started right there in that moment of doing something like that, of being that kind of not realizing it at the time, but being brave and being out there. And these kids doing this stuff is so cool. I admire them doing it so much, just first and foremost. But then the enjoyment that they get out of it is so much fun, too. Now, this is an event that people can take in, right? People can watch, parents alike and all that.
Yep.
So then there's that factor of it for the community, where this is going to be one of the most entertaining things you're going to see all year.
Yes.
I guarantee you. It has nothing to do with skill levels or anything like that. It's fun to watch kids do these things. The Lego building sounds really fun. That's a really cool idea. Going through the list of one-act plays, the arts
and those things. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have thought of Legos. That fits. That fits perfectly in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, they make their creation and they bring it. And it's so interesting to see just what everybody comes up with. Like, we don't see them beforehand, right, at the office. They just tell us they're bringing something, but we have no clue how That's big funny. It is going to be, what theme it's going to be. And so it's just it adds to the fun yeah. of the day.
Do the kids get together to rehearse? Do they practice these things? Or is this that kind of something they do on their own?
So in their clubs. So yes, usually, in their clubs, yeah, yes. If they're doing a club play or things like that, they do practice ahead of time. And we have some performers that are just kind of practicing on their own. So it's really a mix. And I like that. I like that you get to see kind of a group play versus a one-act play. Or, you know, it's just really interesting to see what interest them and how they take us the spin on things. And so we have judges. We are very careful, you know, this event wouldn't be possible without our judges. And I think that's also an important component, right? Like feedback and what that means, and yes. constructive criticism and how that helps you grow, not only as a performer, but really a human being.
Oh, yeah. And the idea of that, I think, is important. Criticism. Mm-hmm. You are going to have critiques in your life. Mm-hmm. We do not want to raise a generation that cannot take a punch. And I don't mean a physical thing like that. I just mean being able to take... Everybody is going to be critiqued in life. You're not going to do things perfect all the time. Mm-hmm. More times than not, you're not going to do them like that. You've got to be able to take feedback. It's important. I think that was one of those early... Going back to that talent show, I think that was one of those things for me that was very helpful. That I had great feeling. I had a lot of people, great responses and everything. And then there was my mother. Jimmy, this, and this. You know, my mother would always tell me, I'm your biggest fan and your harshest critic. Yeah. And she really leaned into that latter part. She really likes it. Yeah. It helps. It builds you up. Yeah. It builds it's good. It's a good thing because you learn and you get better and stronger. And at that age, to be able to do that, that's a great life lesson. Like, that's a really, the repetition, the more times you can have that, the better.
Yep. No, it's great. And, you know, and then we start our award shows at 3:00, and I always think of those like the Oscars.
Yeah.
Like when we give out our trophies and our awards, and it's just everybody's really excited to see where they placed. And so it's really interesting just to, you know, it's such a great event because it has so many different components, from the performances to the awards to the people's choice. So it's really cool.
When it comes to for these kids to be doing this around each other, if I'm working on a one-act play, but then I see them decorating cakes over here, and I'm like, well, that looks like a lot of fun. I want to do that next time or something. Who knows what it sparks in them as well.
I agree. And we have our clubs that, you know, we have an arts and crafts section too. So each club, you'll see if you come in the gym area, that, you know, you have all these entries that they come, you know, that and what art is very subjective to the person. So, like, you know, you get to see all these different arts and crafts and things, and I invite everyone to come.
We're sending a lot of people to Pittsville for this one. Yeah. We do want to say that there will be concessions, and we want to thank Shady Lane 4-H for providing those, along with the teen leaders.
Yes, they have. So this is an event that, because of COVID, we had to cancel it. So we did it again for the first time in a few years last year. And we had concessions for the first time last year, and they were a big hit. Mm. Because we are there for a while, and it's a longer event. So, yeah, we get hungry. So, yes, thank you to both of those groups, because that'll be really delicious, too. They worked really hard in trying to come up with a good menu and reasonably priced. So, yes.
Is this an event that you need to register for, get tickets for, or anything like that?
No, just come on over. Open to the public starting around 10 at the Pittsville schools, and join us for as long as you can or the whole day if you want to. We usually, again, clean up around 2 and get ready for awards at 3. So even if you just wanted to come see the awards, you can come at 3. Any of those time frames.
And Jasmine, we talked about this a little bit, and we'll come back to both of these events and wrap up with them. But we've mentioned a couple of things today, and I wouldn't mind taking a little time with them. We mentioned clubs.
Yeah.
The 4-H offers a variety of different clubs for kids to be able to get in and get their creative feelings and thoughts and all that, and have some fun along with being around peers.
Yes. So clubs, it's kind of our model in 4-H. If we have any families interested, we try to really match them with a club that would work, whether it's based on where they meet that's easier for that new family, or the interest that maybe they have if they're more interested in like animals versus some of our other projects. But really, that's, you know, I can only do so many events at the county level. Laura can only do so many events at the county. So in the club level, you really get that full experience of your peers, of other, you know, adults and other volunteers, and you get to do a lot more than just the county events. So we really, even though a lot of our county events are open to all youth, we really think that, like, for anybody that's really enjoying those events, we suggest that they go on our website that, you know, we mentioned earlier, and we have a list of clubs. We have quite a few of them. Lots of them, and yeah, get started that way as well.
Yeah, I was going to ask Jasmine, well, what are the clubs? There are so many of them. We don't have enough time. We literally don't have enough time to go through all these clubs. So I think a better way of looking at this, maybe if you're a parent or somebody out there listening and you have a child, what is something that interests them or something you think they would be? I almost guarantee you the 4-H has a club for it. Community clubs, classroom clubs, after school clubs.
Yep.
And military clubs.
We're always here, James. So, like, even if we have a lot of families that, you know, we see or that reach out, new families that are like, well, I don't know which one. Okay, get in touch with us because we know all of our leaders and all of our youth. And it's like, here are some options, right? And and get connect them that way as well.
And speaking of ways to connect with your 4-H, you go to the website 4-H.extension.wisc.edu. On there, they have a contact your local 4-H educator. And it's a great way to be able to, wherever you're listening to us, find out who the local 4-H coordinator is for you.
Yeah, absolutely. And we have so many also, you know, state level opportunities. One thing that we'll start advertising soon, it's Summer Academy that's coming up in June. And that is for our older youth, I believe it's 7th graders and up. And they're going to be spending almost a week, so 4 days at Madison and on campus, an experience they get to pick from 7 different tracks that they get to experience that those 4 days to really dive into a specific interest that they have. And that'll be such a great, we're hoping to have about 350 youth across the state come to that. And I would love for some Wood County youth to represent that. And so, yeah, we're really excited. It doesn't have to be only 4-H'ers. So it really is going to be a great experience. So, yes, we're starting to look at those opportunities for youth as well in summer. Like, that's going to be a big one.
That should be. Oh, I really, I wish you well with that. That is going to be, I look forward to talking more and more about that too, because that is a really exciting opportunity.
Huh. Isn't it so cool? I mean, I remember like college, like to me became a dream when I did a camp in the summer and I stayed there. Like, that's when I really like was like, oh, this became a goal, right? Like, I can see myself here. And so we want to expose our older youth to that as well. Not that there's anything wrong with our local colleges and tech schools. We love them as well. But, you know, sometimes going to Madison, that also has their capital, like offers a lot of different things. It's kind of cool for someone that's younger and looking at that. Yeah.
I spent my whole life in a big city in Chicago and everything, but I came up here and started going to Madison to visit a friend, and I loved Madison, and it was still big to me. It was still huge, especially the Capitol, all that. That alone, and again, I keep coming back to these two things, the confidence it builds in kids, and you never know what you can spark in a child, and maybe they get interested in the field or something just from one of these visits or these camps, and I want to talk a little bit about the camps. That's a big thing that the 4-H offers as well.
Yes, we do a lot of camps. So we have our multi-county camp coming up in June as well. June's going to be a busy month. That's going to be up in Northern Lakes Impact Center again, like we did last year. The food was amazing. The grounds were great. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not a camping person, and I loved it. Yeah. So if I loved it, I think, you know, anybody will love it. So that's also coming up this summer. And then we have a couple of local camps, like our Clover Bud camps, which are for our K through second graders, that those are going to be coming up. We also do, it's not necessarily like an overnight camp or like our foodie camp. So like our foodie series is going to run through July here in Rapids. And that's going to be every Thursday in July, where we'll walk to the farmer's market and we'll get some ingredients and we'll walk back to the extension office and cook together. So that's always a fun one. It was really fun last year, so we're bringing it back. So lots of different types of camps. We'll have art camp. We'll have outdoor camp as well this summer. All the types of camps you can think of. Yes.
It's awesome. It's so cool. I was just taking a look at your calendar as well. All the great things that we've talked about coming up. You guys had in March the Livestock Quiz Bowl, and I didn't get a chance to talk much about that, but that seemed like it was a really cool event.
It was
I mean, mean really to rewind,
fun.
But it did
yeah,
seem like
it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was really fun.
Good. Good to hear. Very good to hear. And coming up in April, there is a Global Expo. Taylor County Little Farmers 4-H Club. That's one of the greatest names I've ever heard for a club. That's a great name. To our friends in Taylor County, of course, something to keep in mind. But they, you bring this up as a point of wherever you're listening to us, the 4-H website has this. Yes. It isn't just the Wood County area website. Mm-hmm. Or I should say a calendar. It's got all those things on there for
And
you.
We work with a lot of our neighboring counties, too, our Clark County neighbors, our Marathon County neighbors on projects and things like that. Because, you know, with how rural we are, you know, we mentioned Madison being a big city. But we also have to look at how rural we are here, and some of the communities might be closer to a different county than other places. So we try to really work along other counties and other and keep everybody posted on what's going on in those counties as well. And yeah, the calendar, our website, our Facebook page.
When it comes to doing all of this, you just heard Jasmine mention quite a few things. These events coming up, the clubs, the camps, all this stuff. Her and Laura cannot do it all. Need help, need volunteers for these things. And we always encourage people to reach out to the 4-H. It's a great volunteering opportunity. I would also say, as long as we're talking about young people, if you are a young person looking to go into college and you want to pad that resume a little bit, colleges love seeing the 4-H. 4-H show up on your volunteering.
Yes, absolutely. We're always looking for help, especially for young people, so that way we can help them with learn, you know, those skills and that experience. Mm-hmm. Experience is important. And if you can volunteer a couple hours a week in the summer, let us know, because we'll give you some experience in youth development.
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, you'll get some experience.
Yes.
And really good experience, too. It's a great way to put back into your community, put into your into the youth.
Yes.
Let's go over the events one more time, Jasmine, in the last couple of minutes we have here before we let you go.
Yeah.
There is no place like Creative Arts Day.
No place like Creative Arts Day this Saturday, April 1st, around 10 at the Pittsville Schools. And we'll have concessions provided by Shady Lane and the Teen Leaders. Our award session starts at 3. So anytime that you want to stop by and look through our arts and crafts and our come vote for our People's Choice. Mm-hmm. So you get a part in it too, and come see our performances.
It's a fun event. Great one. Encourage. We want everybody to be a part of this one. Let's give these kids a great audience.
Yes. We want it to get so big, we need to find a bigger location.
Yes,
so make it big. Come over.
Again, Saturday, April 1st. Things will start off around 10 a.m. you said at the Pittsville Schools?
Yep. For the public. Yeah. Yep.
All right. And then, of course, the Let's Create scrapbooking that's coming up.
Yeah. So join us and Frankie's team at Let's Create to do some scrapbooking. So that'll be Wednesday, April 19th. It'll be from 6 to 7 at the Let's Create location in Rapids. It's $10 per participant, but we do have scholarships available. It's open to all youth, not just 4-Hers, in kindergarten and up, and we do ask that people register by April 16th. We have a link on our website or on our Facebook page where they can, or they can contact me if they have questions about that.
Yeah. Now, with an event like this, are we looking for any volunteers for this, or do you have enough people for it?
Frankie has enough people for this but we can always, if there, we have more events coming up. So if we have volunteers that are interested, like our foodie stuff is coming up and things like that, summer things, yes, we are always happy to take volunteers for other events.
This also gets me thinking, Jasmine, if I'm a business out there, if I'm somebody out there that has something that I think, well, I think my business, I think what we do here would work really good with the 4-H. I think kids would get a real kick out of it and learn something. Can we encourage people to reach out to you guys for that
stuff? Yes, we're always looking. You know, you never know what's going to spark a youth member. And so if you have a business where you're thinking, well, this is something that I want to expose youth to, reach out to us and we'll set up a date and we'll get the group together. That's what Frankie did. Frankie's just like, hey, I have all these different things that we can do. Can we get some 4-Hers or some youth in here? And I was like, absolutely. So it's really easy. We're really easy to work with and we're really open to lots of different ideas because we want to expose our youth to lots of different things.
And piggybacking off of that, as Jasmine and Laura will always tell you, there are scholarships available. Yep. We don't want that to keep any of these kids out of a 4-H class.
Yes, no, absolutely. So we encourage everybody to we're really reasonable and, you know, we offer scholarships, but any other type of obstacles, whether it's transportation or things that maybe, like, you know, we're not thinking about, if there's an obstacle, talk to us about it, because we're always happy to talk that, through it or help you through it.
You guys do a lot of amazing things over over there, that's the coolest thing you do. I genuinely think that. Not letting money get in the way of these kids getting having some fun and being a part of this stuff. Tell you, that means a lot to this community.
Thank you.
Appreciate the time, Jasmine. Always good to hang out with you. Yes. Looking forward to talking again real soon. Yes. If people want follow-up questions, want to know more about some of the stuff we talked about, just send them to the website.
Yeah, okay. You'll find all of our info at the website.
4h.extension.wisc.edu. That's 4h.extension.wisc.edu. And as I mentioned before, you type into whatever search bar you have, type in 4-H Wood County, should find the website.
Yes. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you, Jasmine. Have a great day and good luck with the events.
Thank you.
We'll go ahead and get out of here for now, but I do want to remind everybody, tomorrow we will wrap up Morning Magazine in part one at 10:05. Tim Giebert will be joining us, candidate for Wood County Circuit Court Branch 4 Judge. And at 10:15-ish, somewhere around there, John Krings will join us, candidate for the Wisconsin Rapids School Board. And we will wrap up the week at 10:30 with our good friend, Catherine Elkhart, director of McMillan Memorial Library. All of that coming up for you right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, where we are locally grown radio.
From the hometown of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally